Welcome to Healing Scars with Pastor Burton, the official podcast of Cross Christian Fellowship, Route 66, in the heart of Albuquerque, New Mexico, where Burton is the lead pastor. We're glad you're here.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time in fellowship, this time in growth, this time in your word. We ask that you open open the eyes of our hearts, our mind, our ears. Let us see and hear everything that you have to speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So last week we're talking a bit about that feeling of unworthiness that we have, right? And how it's a snare of the devil, right? So it's one of those tools that Satan and his ministers like to use. And this week looking at another one of his tools that they like to put up out there. And it's doubt. We all come up upon that snare once in a while, don't we? In a multitude of ways. Unfortunately, one of the hardest times that we deal with it is when it comes to our faith. You know, it's that little voice saying, "I don't think so, Tim." Right? You know, the odds don't look so good. It's not in your favor. In other words, it's uncertainty. It creates a lot of uncertainty in you, a lot of turmoil, you know, and when it creeps into a believer's life, it's especially hard. It tries to a lot. It really does. You know, it's that tool that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, right? When the serpent was speaking to Adam and Eve, did he force them to do anything? No. He said just a little bit to create that doubt, though, to get that uncertainty. It's like, well, is that really meant? Is he holding something back from me? Right? They started questioning what they knew about God, what they knew about his character. You know, and as Christians, when we have it, it creeps in, and we start looking at it in our faith, we start asking ourselves, like, am I really saved if I have doubts in my faith? You know? What if I have questions about the Bible because something doesn't necessarily make sense because I've been taught something different throughout my life, right? Or I've seen something that just, it doesn't quite add up. The doubt's in there, you know? Sometimes, you know, people are out there, it's like, well, a good Christian doesn't have doubts. Hogwash. Christians have questions all the time, every single one of us, you know? And unfortunately, the thought that's out there, though, is like, oh, good Christian doesn't have doubts. I must not be a good Christian. That means I'm going to hell. No, you're not. You're okay. That's the enemy whispering in your ear. Don't listen. In the words of Jesus, Satan, be gone, right? So this is a big place that we have to look out for. So let's look at our first scripture here in 1 Peter chapter 3. So 1 Peter chapter 3, specifically, we're going to be looking at verses 14 through 16. Try to get everybody a minute there. I know I kind of go fast there sometimes. So 1 Peter 3, 14 through 16, the word says, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of the threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile you, who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed." Pastor, what's that have to do with doubt? Right? A good question. I'll answer it. How do you tell others about your faith? What defense do you have in your life? Now, in other words, it's asking, why do you believe what you believe? And if we're honest with ourselves, most of the time we don't really have an answer because we haven't really thought of that, have we? It's like, I just believe. Really? Well, where's that going to fly? It's like your parents saying, he's like, why do I have to do that? Because I said so. Really? Does that really tell them what? that teach them anything? Well, when we tell people, oh, I just believe, well, we're doing the same thing because I said so. We're not giving a defense. We're not teaching them anything. We're not explaining anything. We're certainly not witnessing for Jesus. So it's not good enough. So we start thinking about it. I just do. Is that good enough for a non-believer or somebody who's just starting to come? Is trying to get answers to those questions? That's one of those places that we as the church fail sometimes, actually fairly often, because we don't have a defense. We haven't even thought of one. So we're unprepared, right? We're caught off guard. And we miss an opportunity to bring somebody and introduce them to Christ. Let that sink in for a minute. How many opportunities have you missed? I think we've all missed more than our fair share, haven't we? So we ask ourselves, why do I believe? What is the answer for my defense of the hope that is within me? The answer for the faith, the trust in God that I carry with me? And when we start thinking about it, if we can't think of an answer right away, ooh, the snare has us. Now we start to question all of it. I've been saying I'm a Christian, but am I really? Have I been saved? Well, that's the enemy whispering in your ear, trying to sow those seeds of doubt. You know, how am I a Christian if I can't even answer for why I have the faith that I have? Am I, you know, like, uh-oh, and the cat gets your tongue. Doubt creeps in. And let me make it clear. You're not the first person to feel this way. You're not the first person to ask these questions, nor will you be the last. You're not alone, and it doesn't make you any less of a Christian. Actually, on the contrary. Because as Christians, as followers of Christ, we're students, are we not? Students should have questions. If you don't have questions, something's not right. I can tell you even now, I still have questions. Everybody should have questions. That's why we have the Bible. To answer a lot of those questions. So I'm going to share a quote with you here from Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. Give me the benefit of your convictions if you have any, but keep your doubts to yourself, for I have enough of my own. Isn't that the truth? We all, like I said, we all already have questions. We already have a lot of things on our plate. From our day-to-day lives to even just reading the Word, we have questions. None of us want somebody coming in and piling their garbage on top of what we already have going for us, right? What he's saying. It's not just in the Word, it's in life. It's like, don't bring that nonsense. No, get out of here. So really what we should be asking are the questions that we have. Do we have good questions? And who are we going to with those questions? That's the big thing right there. Who are we going to with those questions? Are we praying on it? Are we talking to a fellow believer? Maybe somebody who's a little further along in their walk, a little bit more mature? Or are we just going to our buddy and going, you know what? I got a doubt. And that buddy might not even have faith. And I'm like, whoa, I don't know. Right? We shouldn't be burdening people with our own stuff. We should be going to people that we trust, that we know might be able to help us find that answer if they don't have it themselves. We should be praying first and foremost. We should always be taking it to God, right? That's why he's given us the Holy Spirit, so that we have someone, right? That comforter. Because what happens when we start to doubt? We start to get frustrated. We get angry. We get nervous. We get anxious. We become fearful. The Holy Spirit is the comforter, is he not? So we should be starting with him. all of this, it's only fitting that I show in the Word a good demonstration. Now, we're going to go through, we're going to read through all this real quick just so we have the context of what's happening. But don't worry, we're not going to go through all of the whole thing for time's sake. But let's flip over to Mark 9, verses 14 through 19. So Mark 9, 14 through 19. I like saying that, Mark 9. Makes me feel like I'm on Star Trek or something. It's a Mark 9 torpedo. A little nerdy, I know. So this right here, though, this right here is a story of Jesus with the demon-possessed boy, okay? All right. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately, when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him, and asked. He asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples so that they could cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately, the father cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." So we could, like I said, we're not going to go through this whole, we could spend a whole lot of time. Matter of fact, we could probably do a whole series on this. I'm not going to do that to you. You're welcome. we're going to look at a few key pieces of this, though. Like I said, we needed to go through the whole thing, though, because we needed the context, what was happening, what was going on, right? Like I said, context is king. We should always be reading, right? We should always be like the Bereans, studying. So at the very beginning of this, Jesus and the disciples, they had just come down from the mountain where some of his disciples were with him, and they had just witnessed the transfiguration, right? So basically, they were up in a very beautiful place, seeing something absolutely gorgeous. And then they come back down the mountain, and they come into the town. And because of that, it's pretty easy to imagine that this ugly scene probably appeared a whole lot uglier. Not to say that there's anything really pretty about it to begin with, right? I mean, a demon-possessed boy foaming at the mouth, seizing the whole bit. That's pretty crazy. There's a lot of chaos there, you know? And it's like they went from the presence of God to absolute evil. Witnessing absolute evil. We see a lot of that in our streets. You know, in any case, you know, it's a scene of pure horror. This is something that they make, this is the type of thing that they make movies about. Yet, you look at the people and how they're responding. They're like, "Oh, they're cheering. There's Jesus. Hey, teacher, teacher." They're going, "There's no fear. There's no fear." Why is there no fear? Well, because Jesus is there. There's no need to fear. Jesus is here. When Jesus is walking with us, we don't have any need to fear. All right. When he has our backs, we know we're good. But when we go back here and we look at verses 18 through 19, the Father clearly believed in Jesus, and he believed in his disciples. He believed that they could help him. So he took his son in faith and he takes him to them, saying, hey, help me. I need your help. He's desperate. Heal my boy. And the disciples, they tried. This is something that they've done before. So they're like, oh, I got this down. I know what I'm doing. I'm golden. We'll knock this out. They'll be home for lunch, right? But it failed. It didn't work. Uh-oh. You don't think that there wasn't a little bit of doubt starting to creep in here at this point? And here's a desperate father in need. Oh, they can do it. Oh, it's not working. Here's the disciples. Oh, we can do it. Oh, it's not working. Why isn't it working? So it wasn't for lack of effort. Something was amiss. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'll bet the disciples were probably kicking themselves right and good and feeling kind of silly when they realized what it was. You see, back then, and where we see it in other parts of the Bible, when a demon was being exorcised, typically what would happen is the person who was doing the exorcism would go and they would ask the demon for its name. Aha! They don't have the demon's name. They don't have a way to communicate with it. Deaf and dumb. Right? They have the boy's name. They have the information the dad gave. But they can't do it the way that they used to do, where it's like, hey, what's your name? Demon, be gone. They can't even invoke the demon. Instead, they stand there at its pleasure while it laughs at them. You can't get me, nanny, nanny, boo, boo. Right? So try and try as they might, the normal tactics weren't going to work with this demon. When things didn't work out, snare's been set. It's closing in. We've all done this in our lives, haven't we? It's like, oh, I got this in front of me. I got this down. Let's do this. Let's rock. But then something's changed and it doesn't work. Something new has entered into the equation. We have to go back to the board and start problem solving. And it can get frustrating real quick. Sometimes things get so frustrating. We sit there, we get that mindset. I can't do this. Just can't. The enemy's working real hard at that point, and they're smiling because they gotcha. We get that pattern down. We do things. It's our go-to. We fall back on it. We like to do things over and over the same way, right? We're creatures of habits. We like our habits. We don't like change. You ever have something like that come up at work or someplace else? Like, hey, this isn't working. Oh, we've always done it like this. We don't need to change. Something there needs to change. Really? No. No. It's time to change the tactic. Marine Corps, it's what we say, adapt and overcome. And with Jesus, it's really easy. We go to him, he tells us how to adapt, and he helps us overcome. That's our go-to, right there. But that doubt gets in there, and we have to evolve to try to figure out what's happening there. So the father, he's gone, he's taking his son. He's taking his son straight to Jesus at this point. If you can. Man, Jesus at this point, King James Version says it, if you can believe, all things are possible. One straight sentence. Kind of like the way the NIV breaks it up. If you can, has a question mark there. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. I think that's a little bit better of a translation, because he's like, if it really, if do you not know who you're talking to? Are you kidding me, buddy? You know I got this. Come on. It's like, are you out of your mind? If. Oh, please. Get out of here with that nonsense. Bring me the boy. Come here. Come here. Right? Piece of cake. And I like the way it says it, though. The way he rebukes him. All things are possible to him who believes. Does this sound familiar to anybody? Does this sound a little bit like Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? Some translations, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Same thing. Doubt's just another tool that Satan and his ministers like to use to take our eyes off of Jesus. We get caught up in ourselves and the stuff that's in front of us. And we stop thinking about the one that we should be thinking about the most. Instead of going to Jesus, we're trying to do it in our own devices, and it doesn't work that way. We fail. We fall short every single time. You know? And with this, you know, Jesus, he isn't saying like we can just do anything. Like we're some kind of a superhero, right? We don't get to leap buildings in a single bound, right? Exactly. We're not faster than a speeding train. We don't have that magic ring, the power of light, right? Unfortunately, none of us are like Batman with the billions of gadgets. It's like, who needs superhero tricks? Watch this. Push a button. Pow. Right? Those bright words pop up in front of us. Pow, zap, smack. Wouldn't that be cool? No, he's not saying that. Rather, what he's saying is that anything is possible to the believer, and that nothing is too hard for God to do, because as long as we have faith in him, we will have everything that we need to serve him. Aha! There's the trick right there. We will have everything we need to serve him. Because we have to remember, it's not about us. It is about him. We had people who paved the way for us to come to know Jesus. It's on us to continue to pave the way and build up a way for others to come to know him. We were the future generation once. Now we're setting things up for the next. That's what that verse really means. That's what Jesus is saying to the Father. It's like, there's nothing too hard for me. I got this. What do you mean, if? I got this. You believe, don't you? You believe. Well, check it out. We got this. You came to the right person. You're going to have everything that you need because you came straight to the source. And I'm going to take care of you. I got you. I got your back. It's exciting, right? So going back into Mark 9:24, we see a prime example of what it is to believe yet still have doubt in our lives. Doesn't make you less of a Christian. It's perfectly okay. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, he's crying, right? Lord, I believe, I believe. Help me with my doubts. That's what he's saying. Take away my fears, in other words. I believe you, that's why I came to you. But I'm scared, man, help me. He knew Jesus could. He just wasn't sure if he would. Oh, we've all been there, haven't we? Lord, answer my prayer. Please answer my prayer. I'm desperate. I can't do this. But we don't necessarily hear the answer right away, or at least not the answer we're looking for. And we become frightened. We're like children all over again, right? Doubt has us. Thing is, we have to remember when it comes to faith, it's not this tangible thing, this tangible cure-all, like a pill that we take when we're not feeling good, or a shot that we get to prevent like the flu, right? It's nothing like that. Growing in our faith is a constant. It happens every day. It's tested every day. Every single day. It's going to be a part of your daily walk with Christ. Just, that's the way it is. That's the way it's meant to be. Because you're going to have questions. You're supposed to have questions. Questions are important. Questions are good. It doesn't mean that you're lacking in your faith. It just means you need knowledge. You need understanding. Because this is something that you don't know yet. It's okay. None of us knows everything. I've worked in a lot of fields in my life, but you know what? I don't know a single thing about building a nuclear missile. I don't know a single thing about building a building from scratch. I know some of the premises, right? I think we all do. Oh, you got a foundation? Okay. You got your frame? Okay. How many of us in here are construction workers, though? So it's safe to say that they probably know things that we don't. That's why we call them, right? Something goes wrong at home. You got a leak. You call the plumber. Some of us have skills to deal with simple stuff ourselves, but not everything, right? Power goes out in a room, it won't come back on. You go to the fuse box, things still aren't working. Who do you call? Not the Ghostbusters. Call an electrician, right? There's different things out there. You want to do some building on your property. You own the property. You have to call somebody to come out and mark things. Make sure you don't start digging and hit a gas line or something, right? You call a professional. God wants us to have questions. That's why he's given us the Bible, so we can get to know him personally as we start to grow. Something that we haven't come across yet, or maybe we just haven't gleaned what we needed to from it yet. You know, it's there. We all grow. He's given us the Holy Spirit. Help us out. He knew, that's the reason why we have a Bible. He knew that there would be people out there twisting it, perverting it, trying to make it fit their narrative. Because they don't like the way it's worded and taught over here. So it doesn't matter if you like it or not. God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It will not change. If God says it's so, it is so. If God says it's not so, too bad, pumpkin. That ain't on you. If it hurts, change. Not the word, because the word ain't changing. You can try to twist it all you want. All you're doing is teaching a false gospel. You're condemning yourself and other people to hell. It means you're being convicted. You need to change something in you. Dig deep. Just going to bring us to our last passage here. I'm going to flip all the way back to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. So 1 John chapter 4. It's going to be kind of back towards the back of your Bible a little bit. Kind of a short book. So 1 John chapter 4. I know I got the King James version up here on the screen. I'm actually going to read from the NIV because that's what I had down here in my notes. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Well, you know what? I'll read the King James as well. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. They're not that different, right? If a doubt comes into your head, don't hesitate to turn around and ask Jesus, hey, what's this mean? What are you trying to say here? It's okay. He wants you to ask the hard questions. He wants you to ask what's on your heart, what's on your mind. If it's there, it's there for a reason. This is how we grow. This is how we build our relationship. I mean, if we have a friend and they're doing something, they're like, what are you doing? We don't hesitate, do we? Like, what, are you stupid? What's going on over there? But what's this all about? Well, they're doing something pretty cool, right? You're like, oh, what's this? What do you got going on over here in your garage? That's cool. Right? You building a Camaro? Sweet. Right? We don't hesitate. Family member? A sibling? You have siblings, you know, as well as I do. You have no problem with reaching over and tapping your Ford Assist right upside the backside of the head. Right? It happens. Yeah, exactly. Just like that. It's love. It shows trust. It shows that we care. It shows that we're bonded. When we go to Jesus in the same way, it shows the same thing. And that's what he wants with each and every one of us. He wants that relationship. He wants that bond. It's important. I'm going to leave you all with this. A quote from Dr. Israel Isidore Isaac Rabi. He is a nuclear physicist and a Nobel Prize winner in physics. A friend once asked Dr. Rabi how he became a scientist. He replied that every day after school, his mom would talk to him about his school day. She wasn't so much interested in what he had learned that day, but she always inquired. And she would ask, "Did you ask a good question today?" It's a good one. Asking good questions, Rabbi said, made me become a scientist. And I'll say to you, especially when doubt comes into your mind, asking questions strengthens you as a Christian and makes you a better person. Do not be afraid to ask questions. And when the devil starts whispering in your ear and trying to spring that snare of doubt and uncertainty, tell him to be gone. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy, your grace, your love, this time here today with each other and with you and your word. Forgive us when we stumble and we fall, those moments of unbelief and the uncertainty that we have in our lives. Just forgive it all. Guide us in overcoming them. Help us to be an example to others for what they need to do and how they need to respond when they fall into this trap themselves. Teach us to step up and boldly ask those questions. Let us ask those hard questions so that not only we gain the knowledge that we need, but the understanding that we need in order to apply it to our lives. Not only just apply it to our lives, but to teach others what you've taught us. Let it to be a witness to Christ and a part of our testimony to bring people to you. And show them who you are and what you're all about, and teach them about your love. And all his people said, amen and amen. Remember, when you leave here today, you are loved and you are blessed. So go and be the church.
Thank you for joining us at Healing Scars with Pastor Burton. If this message spoke to you, or if you would like to help us reach more people, please like, review, and share our podcast. You can learn more about our ministry or how you can support us at www.thecross66.org. Until next time, take care and God bless.